living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, for He is good. For He is good. I will rejoice.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org, and we hope you're tuning in every day and getting our podcast, but also seeing the text copy of those daily broadcasts here and posts. You can find them on daily blog there right at voiceofvision.org. We're real fervent about that, and that's our title for today's message, Fervent Fellowship. 1 Peter 1:22 in part says, "See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Let me ask you a question. What's your passion these days? Oh, I know, we just want to be pious. Say, "Oh, it's Jesus." I get that. I know. I can't hear you out there, but I can hear you. You know what I mean? But what is it that's got you going? What is you really chasing? What is it about the kingdom of God or your job or that new boyfriend or girlfriend or the one you're hoping to get? You know, there's a social networking site out there called Facebook, and there's this thing, I haven't played it, but I've seen it being played, called Farmville, and people seem real fervent about it. They're addicted to it, you know. 1 Corinthians 16 talks about the household being addicted to ministry, and we can be real fervent about something, and I'm wondering what it is that's really getting you passionate today. And again, you know, a baseball player, he gets a hit right just barely out of the infield there, and he thinks maybe he can make it to second base, so he rounds the corner of first base and fervently tries to make it before the throw gets there, or he's trying to steal a base, or, you know, again, stretch out a base hit into extra bases and all that. Or a football player breaks through the line and then gets to where the linebackers are and spins off a tackle and he's into the secondary and he's fervently going, trying to go as far as he can before he gets knocked down. Hopefully he can get a touchdown, he's thinking, or at least get that first down. You think about something that you've done for a long time, the Olympic athletes, let's say, and they compete and it's their goal, they're excited, they're on fire, they're fervent about the training, about the discipline. They'll do whatever it takes. You know, it's amazing the things, the lengths we'll go to get what we really, really want. And we get so feverish, fervent over these things. And sometimes those are good things and sometimes they're not such good things. But you can't tell me that there aren't things that motivate you, because there are. Or at least there were. And if you're a Christian, there are certain things that ought to motivate you. And we could go into a lot of those today and just, you know, try to exhort you about certain things. But I'm going to read the context of this passage in 1 Peter a little bit and talk to you about fervent fellowship. In 1 Peter chapter 1, again, so much context, but I'll start with verse 18. "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and the glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. And this Word is the good news that was preached to you. And your brothers and sisters in Christ," the Bible says, "he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit," 1 Corinthians 6:17, "we're one with the Lord and one with each other." We're part of one body. 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 tells you that. We're one body. And it's the universal body, but there are local bodies. And you can't say you love fervently the body of Christ if you don't love anybody in the body of Christ. You can see how Paul and Peter say virtually the same things at times. You can compare Peter's exhortation here in 1 Peter 1:22, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, with Paul in 2 Corinthians 6:6, where he expresses the fact that he indeed was behaving as Peter says we ought. The Bible is remarkably consistent, and the apostles knew what the Spirit's power could do in the life of a believer, and in uniting a fellowship around Jesus Christ, a called out, a local assembly, ecclesia. The Holy Spirit is the bond between believers, Ephesians 4, 3 and 4. And the Holy Spirit, He provides the power that we need to stay in fellowship together. It's not simply tolerance, but togetherness, weaving together, growing in grace and trust of God and each other. We're to be fervent for the spiritual growth of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. After all, we are of the same body. Let me read some other verses here. Let me get to Colossians chapter 2. We put this as part of our mission statement, Colossians 2:2. And in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "This is Paul. I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all those who have not seen me face to face." And he says, why? "That their hearts may be knit together." "That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love to reach." Why? "To reach all the riches and full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is in Christ, in whom are treasure hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And he's saying you got to do that, and the only way to fully do that is if you can do it together. In Ephesians chapter 4 is the same type of thing. And it's funny because Ephesians 4, obviously Ephesians 5 is next, Colossians 2, Colossians 3 is next, and it talks about being filled with the Spirit and letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, and it does that in the context of community. People say, "Oh, I'm filled with the Spirit," and they're not even attending church. No, you're not, or it's not going to last, I can tell you that, because that's how these things happen. I did a whole sermon on this called "Let the Good Times Roll" about Ephesians 5, and I'd done a sermon before that, "How to Be Happy," from Ephesians 5, 13 through 15, and this would be 16 through 21, I believe, and the truth is that these things were knit together. We have this process, and we're to be fervent for the spiritual growth of our brothers and sisters in Christ. I mentioned Ephesians 4 just a moment ago. Let me get to that, because it talks about pastors and teachers and evangelists and all that to build us up. All right, we know that. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, verse 11, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we would no longer be children tossed to and fro by the ways and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. And then here we go, the body again, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it's equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And again, you know 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14 and talking about the gifts and talking about us needing each other, and the foot can't say to the hand and the elbow can't say to the knee and the eye can't say to the ear and everything. You know, the whole body is necessary. Even those parts that don't seem like they're necessary, they are necessary. And so a guy that's in training for boxing, let's say, and you know, he's facing a guy that's a southpaw, a left-hander. He's got to train a certain way, and he's got to make sure he's getting his steps just right. A skier, let's say, and they have a knee problem. They've got to be fervent about getting that thing fixed. They've got to know they've got to train in exactly the right way. They've got to do what they've got to do. They are passionate about that because it's important, but we don't do that too often. But Peter says in first chapter of Peter, 1 Peter 1, he says, you know, you've been ransomed with something that's more precious, that's totally precious, the blood of Christ, and the Word of God has caused you to be born again. And because of these things, you are supposed to be fervently loving one another. Fervently. Again, I'm trying to put this in context and contextualize this for you a little bit. What are you fervent about? You started bowling, and then, boy, you thought, okay, now I'm going to get my shoes. Now I'm going to join a league. Now I'm going to get a glove. Now I'm going to get a new ball. Now I'm going to get it weighted a certain way. I'm going to learn how to throw a hook. I'm going to practice and practice and practice. I want to get my average up to 200. I want to go pro. Or whatever goal you may have, you get fervent about it. When you first start something, you want to do good at it. You want to learn about it. You don't just get in and go, well, you know, it doesn't matter. Fervently. Think about that. Let me read our theme again. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Fervently. When you love someone with a pure heart and you love them fervently, think about what you do for something you're fervent for. You'll stop at nothing to do what it takes to please them, to help them, to love them, no matter what. If it's your child, think about that. When they're a little baby and they need something and you're raising them and their education and their health, you put them first above your own needs. Why? Because you're fervent about them. They came from you. And Peter's saying we came from God. We are born again by the Word of God. We're connected by the blood of Jesus Christ. When you love someone with a pure heart, you love them fervently, you're not going to stop at anything. You're going to do whatever it takes to please them, to help them, to love them. No matter what. What you are passionate about, that's what you love fervently. You are passionate about whatever it is you love fervently. You sacrifice for what you love fervently. You look to what you love fervently before your own needs because it's a greater goal. If what you love fervently has some kind of problem, you try and fix it. See, that's what I'm getting to. You can't deny the idea that you're fervent about something. And whatever you're fervent about, that's what you're going to give your all to. And you're going to make sure you're going to give it a priority. You might not be able to fix everything in a day, but it's going to be a priority. It's going to stay top of mind. It's going to matter to you. And that's what Peter is saying, that other people in a fellowship have to matter to you. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Boy, I am preaching now, but I am fervent about this. This is just another reason why believers must go to church. How can you love one another fervently if there are no others? Fervently. Fervently. Fervently doesn't stay at home. Fervently finds a way to fellowship. Fervently isn't looking for one reason not to go. Fervently is looking for one reason to go. Fervently isn't looking for a way out of things. It's looking for a way to enter into things. Fervently finds a way to fellowship. Fervently looks for the betterment of the whole fellowship. Fervently knows that everyone on the team is important. Fervently forges relationships that will stand the test of time. Fervently, folks, fervently realizes that an on-fire church starts with them. You say, oh, the church is dead. Well, are you dead? Because if you're alive, that life call, deep calls to deep, life calls to life. I'm telling you, the only reason you're born again is because the Word of God was preached and Abba Father was cried into your heart and you cry it back. We respond to life because we've been made alive. You don't make yourself be born again. You believe because you are born again. Fervently forges relationships, again, that stand the test of time. Fervently realizes an on-fire church starts with them. Is the whole of your fellowship fervent? And what you're doing, what are you doing to develop a fervent fellowship? What are you doing to develop a fervent fellowship? If your church isn't on fire, here's how to do it. You start a blaze by beginning to love others with a pure heart fervently. Well, I'm not out of gas, but I'm out of time. That's it for the Voice of Vision broadcast this time. We'll see you next time. This is Pastor J.D. Hatfield. Fervently, God bless you.
Oh, yes, I'm glad to know my life is hid with Jesus, and that's where
see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.